Now, look, we all hate name droppers. We just hate name droppers. Hell, as I was just saying to Hermann Hesse the other evening at Florence Foster Jenkins' party for Satchel Paige, Hermann, I said, don't you just hate name droppers? Well, he turned to Bix Beiderbecke, who was flipping Pokemon cards with Louis Pasteur, and he repeated my question, and Hermann laughed that damned Teutonic laugh of his, and he replied, well, you know what I mean. Name dropping is just loathsome. Nonetheless, the name I wish to drop is Kurt Vonnegut Jr. I've been friends with Kurt since 1961, when I serendipitously became the significant cog in the machine that got his first book of short stories published. I was just a year or so out of reluctant draft service in the U.S. Army. I was in New York, and I wandered into the editorial country of the paperback house Gold Medal. And my editor, Knox Berger, called me into his office, and he thrust a manuscript box into my hands, and he said, here, read this. Tell me if this kid's any good. So I sat down on the floor in a corner of Walter Fultz's office, and I started reading the tear sheets of short stories inside the box that was labeled Canary in a Cat House by Kurt Vonnegut Jr. Several hours later, when it was already dark outside and the office was mostly empty, I finished the dozen stories culled from slick magazines like Collier's and pulp digests like Galaxy, and I got creakingly to my feet, and I went into Knox's office, where he still labored past closing time under a desk lamp, his bald pate like a full moon indoors. And he looked up at me with the question unasked, and I said something like, you miss out on this, and you're going to be passing up one of the possibly greatest writers of our time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to send you on now to listen with pleasure to an early, brilliant story from Canary in a Cat House, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, by Mr. Kurt Vonnegut Jr.
Sometimes I get so mad, I feel like just up and diluting his anti-gerasone.
Oh, gosh, that'd be against nature, Em. That'd be murder.
Against nature? Who knows what nature's like anymore?
Yeah. But, well, besides, if he caught us tinkering with his anti-gerasone, not only would he disinherit us, he'd bust my neck. Just because he's 172 doesn't mean Gramps isn't strong as a bull.
Oh, I don't guess I could ever bring myself to dilute his anti-gerasone or anything like that. But, gosh, Lou, a body can't help thinking Gramps is never going to leave if somebody doesn't help him along a little. Golly, we're so crowded. A person can hardly turn around. And Verna's dying for a baby. And Melissa's gone 30 years without one. Mm. Oh, I get so sick of seeing his wrinkled old face, watching him take the only private room and the best chair and the best food, and getting to pick out what to watch on TV, and running everybody's life by changing his will all the time.
Well, hon, after all, Gramps is head of the family. And he can't help being wrinkled like he is, you know. He was 70 before anti-gerasone was invented. Oh, he's going to leave him. Just give him time. It's his business. I know he's tough to live with, but be patient. It wouldn't do to do anything that'd rile him. After all, we've got it better than anybody else there on the daybed.
Oh, how much longer do you think we'll get to sleep on the daybed before he picks another pet? The world's record's 2 months, isn't it?
Yeah. Mom and Pop had it that long, once, I guess.
When is he going to leave, Lou?
Well, he's talking about giving up anti-gerasone right after the 500-mile speedway race.
Oh, yeah, and before that was the Olympics, and before that the World Series, and before that the presidential elections, and before that I don't know what.
Okay.
Oh, it's just been one excuse after another for 50 years now. I don't think we're ever going to get a room to ourselves or an egg or anything.
Oh, all right, call me a failure. What can I do? I work hard and make good money, but the whole thing practically is taxed away for defense and old age pensions. And if it wasn't taxed away, where do you think we'd find a vacant room to rent? Iowa, maybe? Well, who wants to live on the outskirts of Chicago?
Lou, hon, I'm not calling you a failure. God, the Lord knows you're not. You just haven't had a chance to be anything because Gramps and the rest of his generation won't leave and let somebody else take over.
Yeah. Well, you can't exactly blame him, though, can you? I mean, I wonder how quick we'll knock off the anti-gerasone when we get Gramps' age.
Sometimes I wish there wasn't any such thing as anti-gerasone, or I wish it was made out of something real expensive and hard to get instead of mud and dandelions.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish people just up and died regular as clockwork, without anything to say about it, instead of deciding themselves how long they're going to stay around. Yeah. There ought to be a law against selling this stuff to anybody over 150.
Oh, fat chance of that with all the money and votes the old people have got. Are you ready to up and die, Anne?
Well, for heaven's sake, what a thing to say to your wife.
Oh, well,
I'm not even 100 yet. The best years of my life are still ahead of me. But you can bet that when 150 rolls around, old Em's going to pour her anti-gerasone down the sink and quit taking up room, and she'll do it smiling.
Sure, you bet. That's what they all say. How many you heard of doing it?
There was that man in Delaware.
Oh. Aren't you getting kind of tired of talking about him, Em? That was 5 months ago.
Well, all right, then. Grandma Winkler, right here in the same building.
Well, she got smeared by a subway.
Oh, that's just the way she picked to go.
Oh, yeah? Then what was she doing carrying a six-pack of anti-gerasone when she got...
Oh, I don't know. All I know is something's just got to be done. Oh, sometimes I wish they... left a couple of diseases kicking around somewhere so I could get one and go to bed for a little while.
Oh, Em.
Too many people!
Oh, hon, I hate to see you down in the dumps like this.
Oh, if we just had a car like the folks used to in the old days, we could go for a drive and get away from people for a while. Oh, gee. If those weren't the days.
Yeah. Before they used up all the metal.
We'd hop in and pop and drive up to a filling station and say, fill her up.
Oh, that was the nuts, wasn't it? Before they used up all the gasoline.
Oh, and we'd go for a carefree ride in the country.
Yeah. All seems like a fairyland now, doesn't it? Doesn't it, Em? Hard to believe there really used to be all that space between cities.
Oh, yeah. And when we got hungry, we'd find ourselves a restaurant and walk in big as you please and say, I'll have a steak and French fries, I believe. Oh. Or how are your pork chops today?
Oh, yeah, man. Hey. How'd you like a hamburger with the works, Em?
Oh.
If anybody offered us processed seaweed in those days, we would have spit right in his eye.
Em? Right, or processed sawdust.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, they've got this stuff so it tastes a lot less like seaweed and sawdust than it did at first. And they say it's actually better for us than what we used to eat.
I felt fine.
I know. Well, listen. You've got to realize the world wouldn't be able to support 12 billion people if it wasn't for processed seaweed and sawdust. I mean, think about it. It's a wonderful thing, really, I guess. I mean, well, that's what they say.
They say the first thing that pops into their heads. Oh, golly. Remember shopping, Lou? Remember how the stores used to fight to get our folks to buy something? You didn't have to wait for somebody to die to get a bed or chairs or a stove or anything like that. You just went in, bing, and bought whatever you wanted. Gee whiz, that was nice. Before they used up all the raw materials.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just a little kid then, but oh, I can remember it so plain.
Hey, remember when we used to be bugs on science fiction, Em? Flight 17, leaving for Mars. Launching ramp 12, board. All non-technical personnel kindly remain in bunkers. 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Main stage!
Oh, why worry about what was that going on Earth? In another 5 years, we'll all be shooting through space to start life all over again on a new planet.
Yeah, only it turns out you need something about twice the size of the Empire State Building to get one lousy colonist to Mars. And for another couple of trillion bucks, he could take his wife and dog. That's the way to lick overpopulation. Emigrate. Jeez.
Lou?
Hmm?
When's the 500-mile speedway race?
Memorial Day, May 30th.
Was that awful of me to ask?
Oh, not very, I guess. Everybody in the apartments looked it up to make sure.
No, I don't want to be awful, but you just have to talk over these things now and then and get them out of your system.
Well, sure you do. You feel better?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not going to lose my temper anymore, and I'm going to be just as nice to him as I know how.
Oh, that's my M.
Let's go in, Lou.
Okay.
A magnitude 50 earthquake rocked Mexico City today.
You see a seat anywhere, Lou?
Oh, yeah, Bob. Way in the back. Come on.
Rescuers continue to dig through the rubble.
Hell, we did that 100 years ago.
Meanwhile, Council...
Oh, wait. Oh, don't step on Cousin Enid.
I'm sorry. Oh, excuse me, Dad.
Could you hunch forward a little, son?
...to dig in an effort to save Albert Hagedorn, 183, who has been wedged for 2 days in an accordion-like position.
I wish you'd get something more cheerful.
Silence! Next one shoots off his big bazoo while the TV's on, he's gonna find himself cut off without a dollar! When they wave the checkered flag at the Indianapolis Speedway and old Gramps gets ready for the big trip up yonder.
Dr. Brainerd Keyes Bullard, president of Wyandotte College, said in an address tonight that most of the world's ills can be traced to the fact that man's knowledge of himself has not kept pace with his knowledge of the physical world.
Hell, we said that 100 years ago.
In Chicago tonight, a special celebration is taking place in the Chicago Lying-In Hospital. The guest of honor is Lowell W. Hitz, age zero. Hitz, born this morning, is the 25 millionth child to be born in the hospital.
Oh, we said that 100 years ago.
I heard that.
Oh,
you there, boy!
I didn't mean anything by it, sir.
Get me my will. You know where it is. You kids all know where it is. Fetch, boy!
Oh, gosh darn it. This is the 11th time he's disinherited me. Em and I'll have to vacate the daybed and sleep on the floor in the hall. It's going to take me 6 months at least to get back in Gramps' good graces. Darn it. Where's that thing? Oh, yeah. Unmistakable. Dog-eared, perforated, blotched. A 50-year diary jammed into 2 sheets. A garbled, illegible log of day after day of strife.
Boy!
Oh, Cal. Coming, sir. Oh, sorry, Morty. Here's your will, Gramps.
Let me see now. Pen!
Here, Gramps.
No, not that leaky thing. Here. Ah. Here's a nice one. Good boy, Willie. I, Harold D. Schwartz, residing in building 257 of Alden Village, New York City, do hereby make, publish, and declare this to be my last will and testament, hereby revoking any and all former wills and codicils by me at any time heretofore made. Is there an eraser on this thing? No. Yeah. I have had many heartbreaks. You're leaving this vale of tears for a better land. With the deepest hurt of all. Has been dealt me by
Lou Pop.
Lou Pop?
No, he means me, Gramps.
Yes, yes, yes. By my great-grandson, Louis J. Schwartz. For his disrespect, I hereby...
Grandson, sir.
What?
I'm your grandson, not great-grandson.
Don't quibble. You're in deep enough now, young man. There. My grandson, Louis J., etc., etc., for his disrespect and quibbling, I hereby revoke any entitlement of blood and / or kinship that he may have to any portion, segment, or element of my estate and slash or property in whole or in part. Now, where's that? Oh, here it is. My deluxe apartment on the 76th floor of building 257 Alden Village, New York. New York. And in particular, my double bed and private bedroom, I do hereby bequeath to... my son, Willie F. Schwartz.
Just yeah. Luck.
Oh, well, time to watch the McGarvey family. I haven't missed an episode of this show for nigh on 112 years. Can't wait to see what happens next.
And now, Auntie Gerasone presents the 29th...
I guess I'll go lie down a moment.
Shush!
22nd chapter in the life of your neighbors and mine.
Our new space, next to the bathroom door. Oh, jeez. Oh, well. Anywhere you hang your head is home. Ow! Folks ought to be more careful when they go to the John. Wait a minute. M, is that you in there? Listen, you aren't doing anything foolish with Gramps' bottle of anti-gerasone, are you, M? M? Morty? Oh, my gosh. Morty's emptied Gramps' anti-gerasone and is filling it up with water. Morty, Morty, come back here. Morty! Oh, now what? I can't just let this go by. But golly, I can't tell on Morty either. I mean, who could blame the kid? What with his new bride and all. Besides, Gramps would make life around here a living heck. It's bad enough as it is. Okay, only one thing to do. Where's that bottle? All's I gotta do is refill Gramps' bottle with a little from mine and M's and Willie's and Nadine's.
Thus ends the 29,121st chapter in the life of your neighbors and mine.
Oh, shucks. Show's over. I gotta hurry. Oh, just a minute.
Hurry up in there. There's a line out here.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
Well, well, well. Looks like you got some cleaning up to do, boy.
Morning, hon.
Morning, Lou.
Morning, son.
Not ever.
Morning, everybody. Pass the processed sawdust cakes, would you, Em?
Here. Seaweed syrup?
Yeah, thanks. Has Gramps come out of his room yet?
Oh, not a sign of him since yesterday when he caught you in the... Oh, you poor lamb. Please don't look so awful. It was my fault. I put you up to it.
No, really. You didn't. Honest, Em. I was just...
No, you don't have to explain anything to me, hon. I'm on your side no matter what. It wouldn't have been murder, hon. It wouldn't have killed him. It wasn't such a terrible thing to do. It just would have fixed him up so he'd be able to go any time God decided he wanted him.
What's going to happen next, Em? What's he going to do?
Well, I'm not going to get all panicky until I'm sure there's something to be panicky about.
Maybe he doesn't know what it is I busted.
Probably thinks it was your watch, Crystal.
Why?
Don't be sarcastic with your father, and don't talk with your mouth full either.
I'd like to see anybody take a mouthful of this stuff and not say something.
Eddie!
Oh, for crying out loud, Mom. You treat me like a little kid. I'm 73 gosh darn years old.
You talk respectful to your mother, young man.
Oh, yeah? How much respect did you show great-grandpa yesterday, huh?
Never you mind.
Oh, by the way, Isn't it time to serve the old geezer his breakfast in bed?
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
And as the most recent family member to get disinherited, Pop, I guess that pleasant task falls to you.
Let's have the tray, Em.
Oh, here it is. Real bacon and real eggs. We'll both go.
Well, look, look, Em. Everybody's gathered around Gramps' door.
Oh, dignity, Lou. Dignity. Gramps, breakfast is ready. Gramps?
Oh, look, there's no one here.
Where'd he go?
He's gone, Em.
There's a note on the bed.
Oh, wait a second. Here. Listen. Somebody who I have sheltered and protected and taught the best I know how all these years last night turned on me like a mad dog and diluted my anti-gerasone, or tried to. I am no longer a young man. I can no longer bear the crushing burden of life as I once could. So, after last night's bitter experience, I say goodbye. The cares of the world will soon drop away like a cloak of thorns. Come on. And I shall know peace. By the time you find this, I will be gone.
Gosh, he didn't even get to see how the 500-mile speedway was going to come out.
Or the World Series.
Or whether Mrs. McGarvey got her eyesight back.
Wait a second, there's more. I, Harold D. Schwartz, do hereby make publish and declare this to be my last will and testament. Hereby revoking any and all former will and codicils by me at any time heretofore made.
Oh, no, not another one.
Listen, I do stipulate that all my property of whatever kind and nature not be divided, but do devise and bequeath it to be held in common by my issue without regards for generation equally share and share alike.
Issue?
It means we all own the whole damn shooting match.
Yeah.
This is...
It's just like the old system where the oldest people...
Namely you.
...head up things with their headquarters in here.
I like that. Lou owns as much of it as you do, and I say it ought to be the oldest one who's still working.
You can
snooze around here all day waiting for your pension check, and poor Lou stumbles in here after work, all tuckered out.
Hey, wait a minute. How about letting somebody who's never had any privacy get a little crack at it? Hell, you old people had plenty of privacy back when you were kids. I was born and raised in the middle of the goddamn barracks in the hall. Now, how about...
Sure. You've all had it pretty tough, and my heart bleeds for you. But try honeymooning in the hall for a real kiss.
The next person who opens his mouth spends the next 6 months by the bathroom. Now, clear out of my room. I want to thank... Who threw that?
Yes, Lou?
You got a wash basin all your own, too?
Sure. Wash basin, bed, light. I mean, the works. And we thought Gramps' room was something. How long has this been going on? No, it's the first time in 40 years, hon, I haven't got the shakes.
Cross your fingers. The lawyer's going to try to get us a year.
Gee, I wonder what kind of wires you'd have to pull to get solitary.
All right. Well, use pipe down, or I'll toss the whole kit and caboodle of you right out. And first one who lets on how good jail is to anybody outside ain't never getting back in. Now quiet, so's I can hear the TV. The McGarveys is coming on.
And now, friends, I have a special message from the makers of anti-gerasone, a message for all you folks over 150. Are you hampered socially by wrinkles, by stiffness of joints and discoloration or loss of hair, all because these things came upon you before anti-gerasone was developed. Well, if you are, you need no longer suffer, need no longer feel different and out of things. After years of research, medical science has now developed Super Anti-Gerasone. In weeks, yes, weeks, you can look, feel, and act as young as your great-great-grandchildren. Wouldn't you pay $5,000 to be indistinguishable from everybody else? Well, you don't have to. The average cost of regaining all the sparkle and attractiveness of youth is less than $50. Right now, for your free trial carton, just put your name and address on a dollar postcard and mail it to Super Box 500.
Wait, just a minute. I want to get this information.
2008-1955-34.
Got it. Hello, you still there? Good. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, regular riot in the place. They were all carted off to jail, except, of course, the ones who landed in the hospital. I saw the cop cars and ambulances pulling up from the bar across the street.
Mr. Schwartz, sir?
Yeah, hold on a minute. I'll be right back. What is it, Felicia, my dear?
I swept all the broken stuff and cleaned up the place, Mr. Schwartz. Anything else you need before I go?
Yes, my dear. Could you please move the daybed in front of the TV set for me? Like a good girl.
Sure, Mr. Schwartz.
Hello, Bibbleman? Where was I? Oh, yeah, yeah, jail. They're all locked up. You're the best attorney on the Eastern Seaboard, and I want you to keep them there. How long? Life without hope of parole. Yes. Well, longest sentence you can get for him, then. Yeah, money's no object. Unnecessary. I have complete confidence in you. Just send him up the river and send the bill to me. Thanks. And you have a nice day, too.
I've moved the daybed for you, Mr. Schwartz, and put on some fresh linen and two of your new scented pillows. Is it okay for me to go now?
Yeah, just a second, my dear. That's for you. Yes, indeed, Felicia. Thank you very much, my dear.
Thank you, Mr. Schwartz. This is very generous.
Not at all, not at all. You have a nice day now.
Yes, sir, Mr. Schwartz. And you all have a great life.
Thank you, my dear. I'm just getting started on one.
This offer is limited and certain restrictions may apply. And now, Super Anti-Gerasone presents the 29,122nd chapter in the life of your neighbors and mine, the McGarveys.
You have been listening to Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, based on a story by Kurt Vonnegut Jr. The story was dramatized for audio, produced and directed by Yuri Rasovsky. And in the cast, Tom Poston starring as Lou, Marion Mercer starring as M, and Hamilton Camp as Gramps. Also heard in the cast, Phil Proctor, Laura Kellogg, and Ira Burton. Warren Dewey was the engineer.